Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Hi, hello everyone to the next edition. This is the next edition of Kiss Your Life Hello. We're very, very happy to have all of you here. And joining me here is Dr. H. Dr. H., how are you?
Good morning. How are you? I missed you last week.
Well, I was in this beautiful island of country of Nicaragua. And it was phenomenal. We have a family home there, the border with Costa Rica. So it's very, very pretty, very, very beautiful, but in the middle of literally nowhere. And we had family, 10 family members all came together from the States, and children and grandchildren, and we had a very good time, very good time. And we managed to visit an orphanage. That was one of the highlights of the trip. It's so amazing to see how people live with so little, but they have so much of love and, you know, community spirit and, you know, a passion for living close to nature. So that was a wonderful, eye-opening experience.
If there was a lesson at all for all of us, is to have that ability to travel out of the United States to the third world countries and see how other people are living as opposed to just watching on television. I've had that experience several times in different parts of the world, and it makes me appreciate, you know, whatever is going on in the United States, appreciate the fact that what we have and not to just to take it for granted.
Well, it's a very powerful lesson to get back to your roots and, you know, touch base with nature and with people who are living very, very simply. So that's a good experience to share with your kids and, you know, your family. But back to my question, how was Christmas for you and your family?
It was nice and quiet, thank you very much. We had a little chilly weather here in Palm Springs, which we're not used to, but it was just nice. You know, I've come to the conclusion for many years, you know, as we get older, we get a little smarter and wiser, and I believe that every day is a holiday, so it doesn't have to be just, you know, Hanukkah or Christmas. It can just be, you know, any day, so it's nice. It's very nice, and I'm very grateful for what I have. And you and I are going to talk about something that's towards the end of the show that will be really exciting, too.
Yes, yes. We have a lot of things to share, and really looking forward to that. But you had an amazing guest last week, and I was so thrilled that we could do the, you know, the piece on the grieving for and the loss for children, and that was an amazing piece.
Oh, John James is a great guy. You know, he was on our show a couple times before on the Grief Recovery Handbook, and it's interesting that I've talked to several people during the week, and they've already had his book, and they have taken his class. Not the class, but the workshops and the seminars, you know, in L.A., and more and more people are now, you know, asking, you know, how to get to When Children Grieve, because it's a very, very, very powerful topic. You know, I know when John and I were talking last week, you know, I shared the fact that I was never taught, how to grieve funerals and everything. Oh, your dogs don't like when I'm talking, huh? And the fact that I wasn't taught how to do it, I didn't teach my children either. So to help to break the cycle. So I identified with a lot of this information that even though it's for the child, but it's also for the adult too. So I'm very grateful for John, and we'll have him on our show again another time.
Yes, yes. And
so what news do you have besides your dogs are barking?
Well, they're always triggered by anybody, you know, walking and the deer at this time of the year. There's so much of deer outside, you know, so it's wonderful to look out of your window and see it, and the dog's getting excited. But no, we have, I thought that we would do something on, you know, genetically engineered food update, because, you know, this is a topic of concern to many of us, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, as you know, Dr. H., it's sometimes difficult to find information, what's happening, not just in the U.S., but in Europe. So we found that Europe has apparently last month Spain blocked another shipment of U.S. soybeans that were contaminated with genetically engineered corn. And the corn, which can be grown and sold legally in the United States, but not in Europe, contains genes for herbicide tolerance and rootworm resistance. And Spain and Germany blocked other soybean shipments for the same reason. So for the first time, I think now, USDA is weighing whether to approve another genetically engineered corn variety, and this one engineered for ethanol production. And the blocked shipments are a reminder that even if the ethanol corn is approved here, it threatens to disrupt trade by contaminating corn destined for countries that have not approved it. So it's good to know that, you know, what other countries are doing with respect to genetically engineered foods, especially soybeans.
I spoke last week in regards to that some chicken farmers are finding that their chickens are refusing to eat the genetically modified corn. So the chickens know more than we do, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Once, you know, this is bad for the health, and it's sort of chronic long-term problems that comes with eating food that your body is not processed. But you have something else for us as well.
Yeah, this is really interesting. You know, we discovered, not we, but the scientists and the researchers have discovered antibiotics in the 1800s. And we're finding now that, actually, these two articles almost coincide with each other. The first article is called "The First Case of Highly Drug-Resistant Tuberculosis Found in the United States." Now, TB was, 40 years ago, the world thought that it had conquered TB and any other number of other diseases through the new wonder drugs, antibiotics. But the Surgeon General said, time to close the book on infectious disease and declare the war against pestilence won at that time. Today, all the leading killer infectious diseases on the planet, TB, malaria, and HIV among them, are mutating at an alarming rate, hitchhiking their way in and out of countries. Overuse and misuse of the very drugs that were supposed to save us. So we're starting to see tuberculosis come back again. Of course, HIV has been around. But what's happening is that these are becoming drug resistant. The other article, because we only just have a couple minutes, the other article talks about pressure rises to stop antibiotics in agriculture. Researchers say the overuse of antibiotics in humans and animals has led to a plague of drug-resistant infections that killed more than 65,000 people in the United States last year, more than prostate and breast cancer combined. And in a nation that uses around 35 million pounds of antibiotics last year, 70% of the drugs went to pigs, chickens, and cows. Worldwide, it's 50%. The rise in the use of antibiotics is part of the growing problem of soaring drug resistance worldwide, as the Associated Press found in a six-month look at the issue. And again, this article also says, as a result, killer diseases like malaria, TB, and staph, and HIV are resurging in new and more deadly forms. We are just doing too much with this antibiotic, so it's not only the drug resistance. Can you imagine that the bacteria, the viruses today are being smarter than us, and because we have used the antibiotics and overused them, the doctors are writing the prescriptions so quickly to write for antibiotics, that now these guys, the killers, the viruses, the bacteria, the staph infections, are creating their own ability to overcome and almost take over our body. So what is happening is that we have to watch the foods that we're eating, and it's difficult to try to find, if we're able to get, say, antibiotic-free, growth hormone-free, you know, chicken, turkey, free-range, you know, cattle, and go to a health food store and buy organically or even kosher meats and chickens and turkeys, then we know for sure that we're not getting that problem. The situation that occurs is that with us humans, if we've had any antibiotics taken, and most of us probably through our lifetime have had it once or twice, but there's such an overuse of it. You know, it's sad, and so I think some doctors are starting to realize that, hey, excuse me, I better not be writing this prescription right away for antibiotics. You know, maybe we need to do another recourse for this. So do you see that as a problem? You know, being an MD for yourself, do you see a lot of doctors writing too many prescriptions?
Oh, absolutely, especially with the so-called flu scare, H1N1 flu scare. Now they're giving children and adults both antivirals and antibiotics. So it's rampant use, and we are seeing more and more people that will have a decreased or immunocompromised people who have immunocompromised situations, you know, especially and they are the ones, you know, they can take a lot of the third and fourth generations of what we call the antibiotics, you know, very super antibiotics, and it's very toxic for the system. And, you know, this is how, you know, we have to protect ourselves naturally. And you and I, Dr. H, have been involved with, you know, promoting the use of natural, you know, herbs and,
right.
and products,
right.
How to build up your immune system and take charge of your health, be proactive, and, you know, for example, even fish, you know, we look at the levels of mercury and contamination in fish,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
a study found in every fish sampled in nearly 300 streams, the scientists have found mercury contamination. So every fish sampled in nearly 300 streams across the United States. So, you know, everything that we eat, we just have to be careful and read the food labels and improve our health. But having said that, in terms of improving our health, we have a fabulous guest lined up today. And, you know, it's a fabulous book that this our next guest, Ronald Alexander, Dr. Alexander, is a licensed psychotherapist, and he's practiced mindfulness meditation and mind-body psychotherapy for, I think, more than 30 years. He's the director of Open Mind Training Institute in Santa Monica, California, and an adjunct graduate faculty member at Pepperdine University and, you know, the Pacifica Graduate Institute, as well as the UCLA Extension Program Department. So we are very thrilled to have, when we come back from the break, Dr. Ronald Alexander, and we're going to be discussing the book, Wise Mind, Open Mind. This is a fabulous book about finding purpose and meaning, especially in times of crisis, loss, and change. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be introducing Dr. Ronald Alexander and talking about his book, Wise Mind, Open Mind.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure. Or call 877-853-PURE.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone. We have with us Dr. Ron Alexander, and he's written an incredible book called Wise Mind, Open Mind. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ron.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for being on our show. And we wanted to talk about what is the message inherent in your book that you find is valuable for our listeners to, like, even just to get a grip on it, especially for listeners who don't know what mindful meditation is, the whole concept of wise mind, open mind. What would you like to say to our listeners?
Well, I think the most important message in the book is that I have articulated a three-step process of personal transformation to really help listeners and people that read the book, and especially all beings, as we say in Buddhism, who are suffering, and beings that are struggling, as most of us are at every step of the way, and especially the sub-theme of the subtitle is overcoming crisis, grief, and loss in times of change, is to learn how to navigate through, as I write in the book, that you can't ever fully get over any great loss. And most of us have to struggle through mild, medium, and severe crises. But you can learn to navigate the ship of self through the great waves, as if you were on the great ocean of time, as I write in the book, that you need to learn to navigate through change and navigate through loss, whether it's the loss and death of your three children in one night in an accident. And I get into that in one of the early chapters in the book, that a young couple came to me who their two children were on the way to a play date with a nanny. And this goes back about 5 years ago. And the referring psychiatrist called up and said that he had just met with a young couple, and their children were on the way to a play date, and somebody crossed lanes and hit their van head-on, and the two children were killed instantly. They're age 5 and 7, and the nanny survived without a scratch, which is kind of remarkable. And the psychiatrist called up and said, we're looking for somebody who is a Catholic Hindu Buddhist, and we got your name through one of the graduate fellows that you trained at Pepperdine University here in Los Angeles. And I grew up Irish Catholic from Boston, and fortunately had the great, unique opportunity to meet Alan Watts when I was 20 years old, mm-hmm. and Joseph Campbell, and oh, wow. Stanislav Grof, and a lot of the great pioneers of the transpersonal psychology and the Zen Buddhism movement. In my early Zen training, teaches one that no matter how severe the feelings and the thoughts and the painful afflictions that we do experience when we're either sitting on the meditation cushion and or we're trying to ride those waves through loss and in crisis and change and personal transformation in our life, that you can learn you'll never get fully over a severe loss, but I teach people that you can learn to navigate and transform through them.
Could you give us an example? Yeah.
Well, this couple came to me, and they came in, and they were so frozen with grief. Mm-hmm. They had lost their two children, their entire family, in one night. And they had been seeing this traditional psychiatrist for about 6 months, and they were so frozen with grief that the husband couldn't even talk. His body was so locked up. And the wife, her affect, of course, in her feelings, she was so over flooded with grief and emotion that I sat there, and this is where the theme of the book that has to deal with mindfulness meditation, which mm-hmm. is both an ancient Buddhist practice of how you learn to watch the waves of thought, the waves of feeling, the waves of sensation, the waves of energy that flow through the body, and particularly not only the positive ones, but more importantly for people who are listening, mindfulness meditation was one of the very first meditation practices that the Buddha, right after his enlightenment and his awakening in the ancient kingdom of Ayodhya in the north middle part of India, near a little small town called Bodh Gaya, he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, and he had a sudden realization. And what that realization was is that all thought, all feeling, all sensation, it all arises, and then it exists. And then if you breathe and you stay with it, and you ride through those waves of the mind, that then it falls away, and then it returns. And as it falls away, there's this very spacious and great space of what we call in Buddhist meditation of wise mind. And there's a vast spaciousness of a feeling of liberation, of ultimate and infinite potentiality and possibility. So this couple came, and the Western psychologist in me, Western trained, sat there, and I really felt like I was in knee-deep mud. Like, what mm-hmm. was I really going to say?
Mm-hmm.
Offer any real condolences or any real navigational map to help a 28-year-old father and a 26-year-old mother deal with the loss of both of their children in a tragic accident in one night. And they really were very, very stuck. And so I did something that I usually wouldn't do in my office. I said, why don't we do something that's 2,000 years old? And again, what's really important is mindfulness meditation. Any religion, any person of any spiritual vantage point can embrace it, because you don't have to be a Buddhist to be a mindful meditation practitioner. You could be a Christian, you could be a Muslim, you could be Jewish, you could be Hindu. And so we sat together, and I gave them the simple basic instructions, really, that the Buddha had first taught, and that one of my first Zen Roshis had taught me back in Amherst in 1970. And we sat for about 15 minutes, and the woman, she started to sob less, which was actually very, very helpful. It was as if, like, she'd been in a endless hurricane of rain. And the husband's heart chakra, it just exploded like a ripe peach. And for 15 minutes, I didn't say a word. We just sat in Buddhist silence. And I saw right before my eyes that the mindfulness meditation was actually in the stillness and the quiet of just sitting there with the grief. Not trying to, in any kind of fancy way or theoretical way, say platitudes or get them to go deeper mm-hmm. into their feelings, mm-hmm. but just to really embrace the importance of the stillness and the depth of that loss. And there was something that was extraordinarily transformative and powerful in that the grief started to emerge like from the bottom of the well, and it just welled up and it flowed through the room. And I, as a practitioner, something I very rarely do is cry, but I started crying, and the husband was crying, and the wife was crying, and that went on for about 45 minutes. And I really trusted that something very deep, something very profound was occurring. And I started to work with this couple, and over the course of a couple of months, we would start every therapy session with 15 to 20 minutes of mindfulness meditation. And I suggested that they also go home and they practice it. And that, and they were very concerned because they're a very devoted Christian Catholic couple. And I said, well, talk to your church priest and just find out if there is any conflict with this. And fortunately enough, their priest was someone like myself who had read the Asian journals of Thomas Merton, who was this great Trappist monk
right.
who spent the last 2 years of his life in Southeast Asia, as I've spent, you know, many, many months and years of my life traveling and studying and practicing in Southeast Asia. And Thomas Merton and the Dalai Lama became very, very good friends. And there's a point in the Asian Journal of Thomas Merton where the Dalai Lama turns to Thomas Merton and says, "Here I am, with short hair, sitting in Tibetan robes of orange and yellow and blue, and I'm a monk, and there you are sitting in your beige Trappist robes, and you're a Christian monk. But because we're both sitting here mindfully meditating together, we are in the space of monkness, of monk mind, and mm-hmm. our traditions fall away, and all that exists is the pure silence and stillness." And that's,
you know, excuse me, Dr. Ron, last week when we had our guest on, we were talking about with grieving, you brought up a good point, is that when we go through a grieving process, we keep ourselves so busy that we don't want to feel the feelings. And I love and appreciate the fact of the mindfulness meditation of just sitting there and just sitting there quiet and feeling the feelings. And for a lot of us, we're afraid to go to that place.
Right. And I think in my own experience, is there were times in my life, for example, when I was 18, one of the guys in our band who was the president of our class, Billy Cannon, and he was the captain of our soccer team, and he was the lead guitarist in this band in Boston, he suddenly, in senior year, he came down with leukemia. And unfortunately, back in the 60s, child and adolescent onset leukemia wasn't something that they could really get a handle on. And he died a couple of days after graduation. And I can remember being profoundly, profoundly shocked. And I had hadn't known death in such a personal way. And then around when I was 39, I met this wonderful young woman named Molly McVeigh, who was also a co-writing partner, a friend of ours and a colleague, and she had congenital heart disease. And in 1991, when I was 41 in May, she suddenly died on a Sunday morning. And I experienced just profound grief and profound loss for months on end. And I was seeing a patient at 10 o'clock in the morning in my Santa Monica office. The patient was a psychologist, and she looked and turned to me, and she said, "Dr. Ron, I think instead of doing this session and the next session, I think you need to go get a session somewhere." And I was like, I only touched by that. And I started crying in the session. So I called this Jungian analyst who I knew that specialized in loss, and I went down to her home in Santa Monica Canyon, and I came in, and she said, "You know, it's very interesting, Ron, that you would come not only this day, but this hour. An hour ago, I just got a phone call from my son's partner, and my son was living out in Palm Springs, and he died of HIV this morning." And so there we were, two clinical psychologists with great depth and skill, and we were both frozen with grief. And she suggested something that was very similar to what I suggested to. She wasn't a mindfulness practitioner, But she said, why don't we just sit in silence and each pray or each contemplate from our own perspective? And for her, she was a Jungian analyst, and I was trained as a Gestalt therapist. And she said, why don't you apply the principles of Gestalt therapy, which is to breathe in and breathe out, and I'll go into a place where I'll practice active imagination. And we sat like that for an hour or two. It was very, very healing. And that's one of the many tools that I suggest that people apply, is that when they're really suffering and they're in the face of whether it's an economic crisis or financial or it's a health crisis, they're grappling with any form of illness, whether it's HIV or it's cancer or leukemia, Crohn's disease or lupus, irritable bowel syndrome, that they embrace the principles of mindful awareness so that they can learn to ride the waves of the mind. There was a wonderful poster, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but in the 60s, Swami Satchidananda, who was one of the close friends of one of my gurus, Yogi Bhajan, at the time. He was a Hatha Yoga guru from India. And they put out a calendar, and it had him surfing on a wave, and he was in tree pose. And that's the pose where you put your heel up above your knee and thigh, and you put your hands over your head, and basically you're standing on one leg. And he was on a surfboard off the Malibu coast. And me being a great lover of the ocean, and the little caption up by his head like a cartoon said, you can't stop the waves of the mind, but you can learn to ride them.
And with that, Dr. Ron, we need to go to a break, and I can see that poster in my mind. I think I've seen that poster a number of years ago, but we'll be back with Kiss Your Life Hello in a couple minutes.
To a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com or call 877-853-PURE. Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nayer's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you.
Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello, and with Dr. Vijay and Dr. H, as Dr. Vijay says, Dr. H, but it's really Dr. H. And we're talking to a great guy, Dr. Ronald Alexander, who wrote this awesome book called Wise Mind, Open Mind, Finding Purpose and Meaning in Times of Crisis, Loss, and Change. Before I ask a question, Dr. Ron, how can we get this awesome book?
Well, the easiest way is just to go to Amazon.com and type in Wise Mind, Open Mind by Ronald Alexander. But it's also available at all major booksellers, both nationally and internationally, Barnes & Nobles, Borders, etc.
Okay, great. Now, I'm going to ask a question because I noticed it throughout in several portions of the book. You talk about for us to move on to be able to have this creativity through this mindfulness meditation and to have the wise mind, open mind, a lot of times we're blocked by emotional traumas, whether they're small or large, unresolved grieving, unresolved issues when we were a child. And I'm a huge believer of Gestalt therapy. As part of my format, besides being a naturopathic doctor and author, I also was a drug and alcohol counselor. I also did work on codependency. So I've been on both sides of the desk. And I was spoon-fed Gestalt therapy. I worked with Gestalt therapy with my clients. I'm a huge believer of that. How do we get through that? Because that's a huge stumbling block for us to be able to sit there and to be still and meditate. I mean, that's very, very powerful, whether it's through grieving or the ability to be creative, that if I have stuff, quote-unquote, that when I was a child, that's blocking me, how do I get through that?
Well, I had the unique opportunity throughout the 70s to really study with all of the first line and first generation of Gestalt therapists that came out of the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, California.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all studied with the founder and the master of Gestalt therapy, Frederick Perls. And Frederick Perls articulated a very fascinating and interesting concept, which was that what we really needed to do to heal in Gestalt therapy was to become fully present in the moment, which was something that he adapted from Zen Buddhism when he traveled into Japan. And he coined a very interesting phrase, one that I embrace every day when I'm working with patients and also utilizing Gestalt principles of being here now, being here in the moment. I often joke about that if you're not here now, you really won't be able to be here later.
The phrase is,
lose your mind and come into your sensations. So what we really need to do to become more effective and more present as compassionate beings and beings that are more creatively present in the here and now is to be aware of our breath and to utilize the Gestalt principles of to look in the way that the artist looks through fresh eyes and with fresh ears in each and every moment. And in the second half of the book, where I write about the importance of mining for the gold and mindful core creativity, is I talk a lot about in the last 30 years, I had the very unique opportunity to work and continue to work with many artists, writers, filmmakers, and a lot of musicians. I guess, comically or spiritually, growing up in Harvard Square in Boston and reading books on Zen Buddhism and playing in a band and having the unique opportunity to listen to all the great bands of the time, you know, the Rolling Stones and The Who and Led Zeppelin. And
let me ask you a question, Dr. Ron, because this is fascinating. what you have, you know, attained, and you know, your immense knowledge and wisdom. But how would you say, how would you attain this wise mind, open mind? How do you assess, for example, the core creativity? How do you awaken the open mind? And what you wrote in one of your chapters, discovering the goal within. How would you do that?
That's an excellent question, Dr. V. Any form of mindfulness meditation and or prayer or contemplation teaches us, through all the mystical traditions that I've studied over the last 34 years, is that if you want to tap into the gold, and the gold resides in our core creativity, inside of our unconscious mind, and in the spiritual traditions, we talk about the unconscious mind also expands into the higher mind, and some people like to refer to it to the higher self, is that one needs to learn to breathe and follow their breath and pay attention by sitting in a motionless state. Although in one part of the book I talk about that for really hyperactive people and people that really can't sit, is that they can learn to do that by walking or doing some sort of exercise that, like golf or tennis, that kind of takes them into what I call that mystical other. But for those of us that are capable of sitting, the best way to mine for the gold is to learn to pay attention to your breath, and then to learn to listen and to receive and to ask the question, I wonder what my unconscious mind would like to teach me today. I wonder what my unconscious mind would like to bring forward and nourish me. And a lot of the artists that I work with, I oftentimes teach them to meditate and using mindfulness meditation, and same thing with musicians. I'll be working with musicians who maybe will have had a fabulous freshman and sophomore CD or album, and then they get what's called writer's or creative block, and there's a kind of quality where the conscious mind freezes them up, and they're cut off from the well of creativity. And I suggest that they learn to trust sitting at the well of core creativity and looking inside and trusting that all of the vast resources that anyone needs to be creative at whatever they do, whether you're a musician or you're an accountant or you're a physician seeing patients or a therapist seeing patients, that you that one can do what many of the great artists like Rothko or Jackson Pollock or even Andy Warhol, for that matter, and the late John Lennon, they oftentimes would sit for sometimes hours. And in the case of Rothko and Jackson Pollock, they would sit in front of a blank canvas for weeks and months at a time, and they would wait for the canvas and the art to unfold in the mind's eye in advance of painting anything. And what they were really doing is they were applying the principle of wise mind that then takes you into that vast state of core creativity that I call open mind. That they were trying.
Dr. Ron, we need to get going. We had a commercial break in a couple of seconds. One more time, please, and thank you much for being on the show. One more time, how can we get the book?
Oh, the best way to get the book is to go to www.amazon.com and type in Wise Mind, Open Mind by Ronald Alexander, and also Barnes & Noble or Borders Book or any major bookseller anywhere in the United States and Europe and Australia and Asia.
Do you have a website?
Thank you so much, Dr. Ron, for being on our show. And it's a real, real pleasure having you here.
And my website is www.ronaldalexander.com or www.openmindtraininginstitute.com. Thank you very much. It was a delight to be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll be right back in a couple minutes with Kiss Your Life. Hello.
Thank you. opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Wake up with a unique daily show. Listen for Mitchell John in the morning. Mitchell will bring you news, sports, and stock news from yesterday. You'll hear interviews from high-profile figures from the world of sports, entertainment, politics, and authors. Mitchell will talk to people throughout America. This is a show that throws right down the center. It's fun, information, and yes, even a little bit of music. Catch Mitchell John in the morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Voice America, and Thursdays on the Voice America Business Network.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone. This is in your last section here on Kiss Your Life Hello for today. It's been fascinating, Dr. H. We really had a wonderful psychotherapist here with us, Dr. Ronald Alexander. And, you know, his book is Wise Mind, Open Mind. And it's so much of information that's being covered, mm-hmm. you know, and Dr. Ron was telling us during one of the breaks that he's had more than close to 40 years, not just 30 years, but 40 years of experience in psychotherapy and different forms of psychotherapy and the practice of, you know, mindful meditation and how that can help, you know, in traditional psychotherapy practice. Especially when you're talking about loss and crisis and, you know, change and, you know, it's a very difficult time that people are going through. And you don't have to go through the traditional, you know, 5-6 years of therapy before right. even you can, right. you know, talk about your problems. But, you know, delving into this emotion, maybe the steps that you need to take to get a broader understanding of who you are as a, who we are as a human being.
Well, the couple things that really struck me, one was the fact of when he talked about hyperactive people, you know, they're the type A personalities who meditate. I don't have enough time to meditate. But the fact of give choices, and I've always felt the same way, too, because walking, when I lived in Florida and I could go to the water quite a bit, and when I was in Sarasota, walking on the beach, I could really, really meditate. Just going for a bike ride, even here, you know, in Palm Springs, going for a bike ride, or just doing something outside quietly, I can meditate. So for the people that are very hyper, that say, oh, I don't have the time to sit down, or I can't, or I won't sit down, I like the choices he gave. Excuse me. The other thing too, I absolutely love, and he emphasized about, especially with the family that lost the two children, was just to sit in the grief. Just to sit there, and that is so difficult for us because we want to be moving, we want to be avoiding, you know, and a little bit of what John James talked about last week when children grieve was the same thing too. feel the feelings, and just the ability to sit and just feel, and whatever feelings come out, whether it's anger, sadness, laughing, rejoice, or whatever, you know, this is the healing part of us, and we're so afraid to go to that place.
Right. You know, and he talked about in his book, you know, it's the act of slowing down and becoming quiet and just
right.
opening up. That's more important, not the amount of time that you spend on a meditation cushion. I believe it was the Buddha, you know, that said that. And it's an important thing that sometimes we are so scared that we go into an emotion, we're going to open up, you know, Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
But and sometimes for very severe problems, you know, there is no doubt you have to find a therapist that can understand you and where you are coming from, and that you want to put some spiritual, you know, connections in your life. You know, so to find the appropriate psychotherapist is also very, very important. You know, sometimes you have to use both the psychotherapy and how to get through with the spiritual connection, you know, with yourself and finding, you know, what we call the gold within. So there is place of hope. There is a place of wisdom within you that knows all the answers to all life's problems. And it's less how do you access there? And sometimes we all need help.
So with that, Dr. Vijay, I'm going to ask you the question of the decade. What have you learned since we're ending the first decade? We're going into 2010 next week.
That's right.
What have you learned since the year 2000, so almost 10 years?
You know, that's so funny that you're asking me that, Dr. H, because I was going through that in my mind as we were, you know, relaxing on the beaches and walking on the beaches in Nicaragua, you know, last week. And one of the three things I would say, you know, that really struck me with that, you know, as I was asking myself, what have I learned this last, you know, decade? And the same question that came up and the same answers was that, you know, the first thing was letting go. It's hard to let go of tough, painful emotions, because I'm attached to my painful emotions, and I find how much attachment there is. So letting go of painful emotions and standing on the brink of the unknown so that, you know, my whole creative process can start taking place in whatever crisis that I find, whether it's financial or health or, you know, emotional or, you know, any crisis, letting the unknown, you know, happen and not wanting to control the situation. So not to be in control, that's the second thing, you know, I learned that there's a gem in that. And I guess the third thing is to appreciate family and friends and, you know, the nurture and respect and support, and not to undervalue that. So having said that, Dr. H, maybe we should turn to you, what you have learned. And I just want to say how thankful that I am that, you know, you're in my life and, you know, we have this wonderful opportunity to go through this path together. Thank you.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much. It's interesting because Meg and I were talking about this last night of what have we learned in the past 10 years. And for me, it's also letting go. Letting go with acceptance. Going through the grieving process of these losses that I've had in the 10 years. The loss of illusions, loss of relationships, loss of connections, the changes that have been going on. So for me, letting go, acceptance. And now for the next 10 years, I'm going to work on letting go of expectations of that.
That's
every 10 years, I'll go through something. So.
Well,
anyways, next week we have an awesome Dr. Nancy Appleton, Why Our Sweet Tooth May Be Killing Us, Suicide by Sugar, a startling look at our number one national addiction. So everybody's going to have a great time New Year's Eve. And then we're going to talk about what the sugar is doing to us next Wednesday. We will have so many people loving us, won't we, Dr. Vijay?
Oh, absolutely. The sugar habit is hard to lick, and it is an addiction whether we know it or not.
Absolutely, right.
So it's going to be an interesting session. So I look forward to that.
So I will talk to you, I guess, next year then, won't we?
Yeah. It looks like we'll be a brand new year, 2010. And
yes.
So goodbye to everyone, and keep smiling, keep breathing, and love yourself, and have fun, all right? Happy New Year, everybody.
And if no one's told you that they love you today, let me be the first. I love you all, and we will be talking to you next year. Bye-bye now.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.